don't even know I'm coming. They lived 1,000 miles interior from where the airport was where I would be landing. So I had no idea, honestly, if anybody was going to be there to meet me. So anyway, the Lord worked out all the details. They were there to meet me. It was his father, his brother-in-law, and one African man that picked me up, put me in a pickup, took me out. I never saw the city. We just drove straight from the airport and started our drive to the interior. 3 days, day and night, driving to the interior. It was an experience I'll never forget. But after I had been there about 3 weeks, finally got settled where his mother and sister were, and his family was living at the time in the interior. I mean, we're talking jungle. We're talking mud hut, grass roof, you know, no running water, no electricity. I was keeping this journal, and his parents said, we're going to go on a trip by canoe up the river, and I thought, that's it. That's where the cannibals are. I remember writing in my notebook, if I never come back, make sure Dan gets this. And anyway, at the end of that six-week period, God had really changed my heart. The thing that stands out to me the most is I realized that they're just people just like you and I. They all need Savior, the same way that we do. And so that was really a change for me to see them in a different light from the way God sees people. So after that, I came back. Dan and I were married. A year later, we began deputation. The Lord saw fit to bring in our support in 1 year. And our second year anniversary was celebrated in the Congo, or in Zaire at that time, on a sandbar. And that's a whole other story I could tell you.
No, you should, but, you should tell them just a little bit.
From there, the Lord gave us 13 years working in the interior. 5 of our girls were born in that area, in a bush hospital. Dan held a flashlight. We had a kerosene lantern. There's a lot of experiences that happened there. But I am so thankful that God gave us the opportunity to raise our kids there. I used to meet young moms all the time that would say, boy, I couldn't take my kids to Africa. And I said, you could if you knew it's where God wanted you. And I'm very thankful that we had the opportunity to raise our children there. In 1995, I became very ill, and we had to return to the United States. We were there for 2.5 years before I was able to go back. The doctors actually said, you'll never take your wife back there, but God had other plans. But it was during that time that there was the takeover of the dictatorship there, and our mission station was completely looted, our homes, everything, I mean, down to ripping out the bathtub and everything out of the house. And so God changed our ministry at that time, and we moved from the interior to the capital city of Kinshasa, where we have been since 1998. So we just thank the Lord for that opportunity, and God gave us 2 more children when we got down to the city. We're thankful for their participation in the ministry and the way that God has allowed us to just be part of the people there in the Congo. And thank you so much for your part in the work there.
Thank you, Christine. So now you get to meet my other half. And it's good to be with you again. I'm just going to get right into the PowerPoint. I think that's a good way to report back. And some of the first part is the part that I shared with you last time. But is there any that are completely new that weren't here last time I spoke? Is there a couple people that are new? Okay. But anyways, we'll go through it. And I think this will help you be able to see what God is doing in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So if we can have that. So as I said, remember that there's 2 different Congos. We are in the Democratic Republic of Congo, working with African Inland Mission, Independent Faith Mission. My grandfather worked with African Inland Mission. And so now it's just Anna in our home right now. And so you can see our family is grown. And actually, Sarah here is our oldest daughter. She was born in Congo. She's married to a Belgian. And they're missionaries in Belgium and have done several trips to Africa and twice to Congo. And so they have 2 grandchildren. And then our second daughter is Joanna over here. They're in Denver. And Andrew, they have 2 grandchildren, Elikia and Zoe. And then our third would be Bethany here. They're in close to Denver, 3 hours out in Leadville. And they have 4 children. And so she's actually helping Anna, being with Anna right now, drove down from Leadville to Denver to stay with Anna as she has just started going to this new school. And then Amy and James are in Chicago, and they have Declan, and fostering 2 children there. And then Heidi and our fifth daughter and Daniel are in New York, close to Buffalo. And all of them are working in local churches. Timothy is in Denver right now, working for UPS and a lifeguard. And just looking, he wants to travel the world like my grandfather did. Put a backpack on and just see the world. So he's working, trying to get some money. But he's very interested right now in coming back to Congo and helping put on the roof of the church. And so is my son-in-law, who all the son-in-laws are the construction guy. So he has his construction business. So does he in Denver, in Chicago. And so he's very interested in praying about, this would be his third or fourth trip to Congo, ministering and putting on roofs and helping and building churches. So he's also praying about coming to Congo. We're praying about going, I'd like to go back the middle of October to put the roof on the church, Lord willing, if the Lord so supplies. So there's the family. Remember my grandfather going out in 1917, my dad born there in 1920. Both my grandfather and my dad are buried there in Congo, and my uncle, Roy. I was, of course, I'd be a third generation, and Sarah and Christophe would be fourth generation missionaries in the Congo. Congo is right in the heart of Africa, right under the equator. Of course, there is the other Republic of Congo here, but the big one is the Democratic Republic of Congo, and you can see the surrounding countries. About one-fourth the size of the United States. Our president since 2001 has been President Joseph Kabila, and he took over from his father, who toppled Mobutu, the dictator that was in for 33 years when it was Zaire. And so he has been in since 2001, and we were supposed to have elections 2 years ago. It hasn't happened. The people want him out and want to have free democratic elections. So pray for that. He just recently made a statement that he is not going to run as candidate, but he is giving one of his prime ministers to run. But the candidates that the people want as candidates of for president, now they're saying they can't qualify to be candidates. So you might pray that the people are very upset with the decision and they want him out. They want to have elections the 23rd of December. So things are heating up in Congo right now. So you might remember to pray for us. Congo is 81 million people in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Kinshasa, the capital city, is 12 million. And that's where God has us planted, in Kinshasa, the capital of... So you can see our traffic gets pretty bad. You can see all the cars going one way there. 50% is Catholic as far as religions. 20% would be Protestant. 10% Kimbangis, where they say God gave the savior of the black men and prophet. And then Kimbangist. And then 10% Muslim and 10% local or indigenous beliefs. This is actually the road that I spent a lot of time driving down, especially with construction. I drive this day every day by truck. If I'm taking things down, Land Cruiser, sometimes by motorcycle, but at least three times a week by my bicycle as I go down to have chapel. You can see it's rained, and that puddle there will get so deep that sometimes the hood of my Land Cruiser goes under the water because it gets so deep. But you can see all the motorcycles coming over on the side. So the first thing we did going back is we needed to change the front gate, the top gate around, so we could get trucks to back in and dump their load for working on the third phase of the construction, finishing up the second and starting the third. So this was changing the gate around was a major thing, breaking down the wall and changing the gate around. We got that done. So if you come in, this is the real church. It's not a building. It's the people. And so in the background is the first phase that we've been built. It took us 8 years to build that. But by God's grace and churches like you, we've been able to finish the second phase and just a little bit over, not completely finish it, in over a year. So this was groundbreaking. back in September of 2016. The first thing we had to do is remove all this soil, tons of soil. And that's why I think last year I came back with a frozen shoulder, because I was going to show the members that, you know, we're not going to rent a machine to move all this. We're going to do it by shovel and wheelbarrow. So we did. But the problem where we've been building the church is we have a natural springs coming out under the church in this hill. And so we've had to go with our footers 2 meters deeper than that water table that you can see down there. So it's been a lot of steel and rock going into the foundation deep down with footers. And you can see the back wall there, that was double wide solid cement bricks. And so as we kept building, we had to, of course, remove all that dirt that we had to remove. And there you can see dumping it. And this is finally getting ready to put the belt around the top of the second phase. And this was the picture I showed you last year when I came back, the 5 deacons there, and then getting ready for the third phase, especially the foundations, finishing the foundations off, the retainer wall, changing the gate, and then pouring the floors. So that's what the finances that you folks gave have gone into. Let me just open this up. It should work as a video. So we meet down here in this open area. That's where we're meeting now. And this is the church building up here. And we have 16 classrooms all the way around in the L, which we have a primary school with about 500, 600 kids, a secondary school, again, about 600, 700 kids. Plus, we have a maternal school now. So there, just showing a little bit of construction. So now we've got the belt poured. We're continuing the foundations on the back side, putting in a retainer wall, and changing the gate around over to the left that you saw a little bit there. And so we have work days where the whole church comes out, anybody that can, and sometimes some of these men are men that can actually get jobs, but they don't have jobs. But men that are carpenters, masons, steel workers, when it's a church work day, nobody gets paid because it's just completely voluntarily. That went off a little bit funny. Okay, so there's another video just showing a chapel going on down, and that's so where I have chapel. That happens to be the secondary school. So I go down every Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, have chapel with the primary school. You can see our Land Cruiser out there in front, the church building. And as we continue to put the rebar in and pour the floors. So we had to put this retaining wall, as you can see there. We're able to get a cement mixer from MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship. It had fallen off the back of a truck and broke, and so I was able to weld it up. And so here's getting the trucks coming in, dumping the gravel, the rock, things that we need to continue construction. So this is just another work day where you can see everybody just taking up and working, moving concrete. The steel benders are finishing up their work. The masons are ready to pour the cement. And so the work has gone very well. We're thankful for now the floors are completely done. Because of the springs, I'm able with a sump, a trash pump to pump water up into those tanks. So we have that to run mixing cement. You can notice here amongst the workers are some teens. So these are just teens in our church that have volunteered to come out. Here's one of the girls. She and another girl were faithful every workday. They would be there to shovel. And I mean, they would do this for 6 to 8 hours. Shovel this concrete into this cement mixer. So there you can see one of our teens, another teen boy there. I like his shirt. You always see these shirts with it. You know, they come from used bales of clothing out there. And I got this down. Did you see that? So just some of the teens there. And just having a good time serving the Lord and being able to work. Paul here sitting down is one of my Timothys that I work with. This guy is an ex-soldier. He's also a member of our church. There are some of our men there pouring the cement as we dump the cement. And that was one of the last slabs that we poured. So I'll just sort of advance this here. It doesn't want to advance over past that. But Yeah, and just having some food. So we always would have lunch together, eat with the workers. Of course, you can see the men eating at one table. So the younger guys that aren't of age like us older men, they would have to eat somewhere else. But we would get the table, the workbench there where we would eat. And Christine had made rice and beans and the leaves from the cassava. As we got ready to come back to the States, this is our normal furlough. Last year was just a medical furlough. And so, but we're going to make this one shorter since we were back last year. So our goal was now, how many bricks do we need to actually make the third phase to put up the church building? So we came up with 3,000 bricks that we need made. So I tried to, since out of about the 120 members, I would say probably only 8 to 9 that we know of have jobs that they actually get paid at the end of the month. And because there's such a high unemployment. And of those that actually get paid, the highest paying one is probably the headmaster of our secondary school. He gets paid $160 a month. And his rent is $100 just for the tiny little place that they stay in. So you can tell that even though our believers are tithing and giving offerings, it's not very much that comes in. So I challenged each family before I left to come with one sack of cement. And that's $10 to buy one sack of cement. And I left enough sand, pea gravel, some cement in the warehouse. And so the families come. When they get their sack of cement, they bring it, and they bring 3,000 francs, which is, 5,000 francs, which is about $3. And they can make, with one sack of cement, it'll make 25 bricks. If they make 25 bricks, then they're legible to go to, I left 40 sacks of cement and get one sack of cement so each family can make 50 bricks right off the bat. And so the goal was every family, try to save money till you can get enough for $10 to get your sack of cement. So Christine and I made 250 bricks, our part, before we went. And then the other families that gave before we left, almost 2 months ago to come back to the States, we had 400 bricks made out of the 3,000 bricks needed. So anyways, that's the brick project. This is a picture I've been receiving, I've received from the secretary. Those are the bricks now going up on the third phase. As you can see, the room below, there's three rooms. So the room on this side is our library, where men can come from over to that city, and our own people and students from our school, a library where they can study God's Word, maybe have a couple computers. And we just had French books donated that I'm taking back, Lord willing, on the airplane that came from France to put in our library. But we don't have it finished yet. We don't even have a floor in it. Now, I did pour the floor for the office building before we left. And then the other room is going to be a training room. So that's our church office right now. And this is our computer room and sewing for our school there. So this is a regular church service. We use guitars. We don't have anybody that plays keyboard right now. The church is growing. This was months ago. We had 10 people that had confessed Christ and wanted to be baptized. So we had 10 baptized and one other lady that became a member. So that was the church welcoming these new ones as members of the church. 50%, I showed you this last time, of Congo's 81 million people are under the age of 14. So you can see there's a real population boom with the older people dying out, a lot of young people. That's why I believe we need to reach Congo with the gospel, the truth of God's word. So that's why we put the emphasis on the Sunday school. And this is the Sunday school at our home where we rent, only about a mile away from the church. Christine and the ladies that come to Sunday school. And so she, just before the week, they'd been working, I have a week or two, memorizing Psalm 23. So for Sunday morning service, the ladies are saying Psalm 23. You can turn that up a little bit if you want, so they can hear. That's Lingala, one of the four national languages. We call it both French and official. So we do have a Bible study. Christine has every other week. The ladies come up to our home, our rented home, and this was one of the highlights when they each got their Bibles. We've encouraged them to really have their own Bibles and work on reading God's Word. We also have an English Bible study for expats, or like a UN lady comes and other missionary ladies come and study God's Word Mondays also. We also quite often welcome all the ladies of the Kinshasa churches. So in Kinshasa, we have, within our fellowship of Baptist churches, we have about 14 churches throughout Kinshasa. So these are ladies that have come and just having a ladies' fellowship where they get together. That's my sister Becky and Lee Ward, and they're actually right neighbors with us. So these are the ladies having their ladies' meeting. They've been trying to do it every month. Visitation. So this was the Thursday before we left, about 2 months ago, just going and visiting each of the deacons. This is one of our older deacons. Moyo is his name, which means life. And he's one of the best Bible expositor preachers that I have amongst the deacons. This is one of our most youngest deacon. He actually, I think I might have shared with this, came to our school as a kid, as a first grader, finished through our primary school, elementary school, went to our secondary school, and we just went to his wedding. So that's his new wife there, and we were visiting him and the rest of the deacons. Daily Vacation Bible School. This time, we had our youth group just before we went, and the youth group said, "We want to do Daily Vacation Bible School." Pastor, can we do have Daily Vacation Bible School? Can we just do that as the youth? And of course, you know, I said, no, not really. I said, sure, that'd be great. So they had it. So youth, having Vacation Bible School is quite an outreach, and I told you about the time when we went out and invited all the kids with the bullhorn, and we had over 1,000 kids, and we just couldn't handle them. So this time, we had at least 18 youth that were ready to teach and divide them up into classrooms. And there you can see one of our teens there, Ruth, taking the younger ones. And we didn't have a classroom for them, so just sat them down on mats, teach them God's Word. And we're thankful for the kids that have been reached. Like I said, I'm burdened for the youth of Congo. And so in Kinshasa, we have 14 churches. We also have, each of those churches have a primary and a secondary school. So that's 21 schools. So I try every year to go and preach at each of these schools. So in the morning, kids come to school, it's just going to be chapel all day till they get out of school. And they come and we find a place that we can meet. So one of our local pastors, Pastor Munanga, who went with me the time before, and I invited all, these are two of the Timothys I'm working very close with, Pepe and Paul. Paul is actually my African brother's son. He passed away, but one of the young men that I'm really working with, and just some of our teens that volunteered to go. So going to the schools, this happens to be where I preach from every day. That's our open air where our church meets. But that were our school. So going into very remote places throughout Congo, throughout Kinshasa, and in the morning, primary school, afternoon, a secondary school, and not getting back many times till after dark. So just the different schools. You can see the young people helping. We teach them a song in French, a song in Lingala, a song in English. So here I think we're singing with them. I sing a new song. Have a new goal. Know a new peace.
Now keep my soul.
So you can see they're excited, and we were able to give each of the kids a brochure with salvation on the back. And this time, I taught them a dispensational view from creation to new heaven and new earth. And I did it on a blackboard. And I just started when God created Genesis 1:1, an innocence, conscience, human government, right through to the cross and then after. So it was, and then I did that on a piece of paper and photocopied it so they could have it. So this is one of our teens quoting scripture. He's quoting in French. God is our refuge and strength. The very present time.
Et que le montant chancelait au cœur des mers, quand le flot de la mer rugissait et qui ment s'est soulevé, jusqu'à faire le temps fleuve dont les courants réjouissaient.
And this kid, this young guy, you can tell him, give me Psalm 1, give me Psalm 8, give me Psalm 23, give me Psalm 100, give me 106, 103, and he just goes. He just, it's right there. And so he's teaching our Sunday school kids now how to memorize scripture, and he does very well. You might remember to pray for him. He's going through a hard time. Married a wife, his wife left him. He has a little girl, I think she's about 6, very intelligent, speaks French perfectly, but he's just going through a hard time, does not have a job. So remember to play for Platine. We saw many kids make decisions for Christ during these 2 weeks of traveling 5 days a week from place to place. Open air, by the way, those 2 weeks, I asked the pastor I traveled with, how many kids do you think we spoke to in 2 weeks? He said around 7,000 kids. But that was the opportunity to be able to make sure that they heard the gospel clearly presented. We also have open air meetings. Sometimes we do it from the Land Cruiser, just get there with some guitars, sing gospel songs, preach. We've seen people saved that way. Sometimes we just go down to the bridge every last Saturday of every month and we just hand out tracts and witness that way. This is the youth group, our youth group. Of course, some of them are not teens anymore. They're young adults, but they don't want to leave the youth group. No, we want to just stay. We just want to be the youth group. They've been it for 4 years, 5 years, and so they just want to be the youth group. They're married. No, we're just the youth group. You know. So I says, let's divide it up into a young adult. No, we just want to be the youth group. We need to be there for the young teens coming in. So they're the ones that had Daily Vacation Bible School, this, and those are future leaders that we're training for our church. Youth meetings there in our home, so this would be inside of our living room, where we have the youth come and just teach God's word. And this time we had a sleepover. So the guys, we put up tents out in our front yard, and the guys slept there. And behind our house, we have a little apartment, and the girls stayed there. That's my sister Becky and my wife teaching the young girls on what God's plan for marriage and purity while they're waiting to get married for God's will. Of course, you know, when you have teen groups, you have to have what? Food. So out there, if you're going to have food, you got to have fufu. Fufu is the cassava, the main starch. So you can see the big balls of that yellow, that's a ball of fufu. Let me tell you, take a half of that ball and you put it down and you feel it hit the bottom of your stomach. Kaboom, kaboom. And it holds you through. It gives you energy. So that's what we eat out there, either fufu. I've been trying to help some of the teens learn skills that they can do to get jobs. So one thing I offered them, I took back 2 laptops I bought in Belgium that had French typing course on them and said, you know, you youth, you need to learn typing. And so you can type, look it over here, God's word, and type it in, keystroke it in. And so several, those are some of our youth, some of the young ladies that have really given to it. This is one of the young men that helps me with a lot of my, when I have computers jam and all that kind of stuff, I call him. His name is Polesha, a pastor's son. And he helps me with that and downloading the MP3 files for that ministry. Excuse me. These are some of our youth. Charlie over there is so faithful. She's the one over on, I believe she was baptized about 2.5 years ago. She is so faithful, every service. So at the church I pastor in Congo, there's morning chapel every morning. So the believers come that are close by, and it's just a song and a short message and challenge from the Word of God. She's there every morning, every Wednesday, on a visitation Thursday when we go out, very faithful. And this was the last Sunday we were there, just giving the certificates to those that finished. There was three other guys and about four ladies that weren't there that did finish the course. And then we had a couple other sessions of teaching them Microsoft, actually getting into Word and making a document and how you work that. So you can see the kids, I've actually been able to take back a couple used computers I pick up at thrift shops. And so the kids that have helped me with the printing, I promised them that I'd bring them back a used laptop. So I pick up these little laptops and I try to find out that they'll work good. And I got the guys that can put the French stuff on them for them. So you can see that some of the kids that now have their own laptops. Another prayer request last time when I came back was to take back three guitars. And God, I asked for three guitars, and I got three guitars by God's grace, and I took them. One I gave to Josie, who is one of our Sunday school teachers. She actually, when my grandmother died in 1936, so her grandfather, great-grandfather, was one of the five men that trusted Christ as Savior. So it's neat to be still working with this family. So these are some ones I was teaching guitar. And this is one of our pastor's sons from Messina. Youth helping me with printing. And that's one thing I'm really behind right now in lacking enough time to print our Lingala and Chiluba and Kikongo songbook and tracks. But we get Bibles. We buy them from the Bible Society there. They don't have a concordance. So it's hard. But we have them in Lingala, Swahili, Chiluba, Kikongo, French. And so we buy them for $10 a Bible, and when we buy them in bulk, and then we sell them to believers for $5 and put that back into our Bible fund. So here's the MP3 downloading MP3 files, the Bible messages onto these small MP players. And one is on the back table there. So if you want to see it, just punch buttons. Go punch like number 6. It'll pull you right up to Matthew number 6 in Chiluba, the card that's in there right now. Or punch 448 and you'll get Josie, the Sunday school teacher, and her sister singing gospel songs. Anyways, getting the word out and getting God's word out, especially the Jesus film, because God blesses it because it's the reading of the Gospel of Luke. So I was able to take three pocket projectors back and then download onto a mini SD card that fits into this pocket projector. The Jesus film here, Courageous, War Room, I don't know, Risen, all these good films that we can find in French, download them, and was able to train three circuit riding pastors in the different provinces that could take these and show them in remote villages. And this is a real tool for sharing God's word throughout Congo. So pray for this ministry. These are two of our pastors that have had a burden for our schools throughout Congo. And so 2 years ago, I printed Bible courses that can be taught in our schools. The government has given us these schools. They don't want missionaries that will just plant churches. They want missionaries that will do something for the country. So we have 300 schools throughout Congo that the government pays the teachers, but we can run and we have freedom to teach God's word in the classroom and have chapel with them. So it's quite an occasion. So these men have taken those courses out, and this was another projector that I just set up for them. That's the pocket projector there. Buy a local battery, Chinese battery that I can buy locally, gel 12 volt, and two solar panels, 10 watt each. Those are $10 each. And then just the wiring and cables to hook it up, and a little Bluetooth amplifier. So I'm praying that God will supply two more that I can take back. And he has two projectors. My wife just was back in Denver. The last projector just came in. And we're praying that we'll be able to get some Bluetooth to power, and then we'll buy the rest of the stuff there in Congo. And a couple more portable. These are Gold Zero fold-up solar panels. So these men went out to schools for 2 months and churches, having seminars, teaching, going by motorcycle over very remote areas, teaching God's word, loading their motorcycles into dugout canoes like this. I remember when they got into this barge, they texted me back and told me about they were on this barge going up the Congo River for like 4 days. And every night, as long as they had power in their battery, they would show films and how many people trusted Christ and as they encouraged those new believers. So they went from many of our local churches preaching God's word, getting the school kids together, teaching them new songs, having seminars in the church. They saw many kids that came to know the Lord. I gave them a good stock of tracts to give the kids and New Testaments, the ones that trusted Christ. And so you can see the different areas that they reached. And each, I gave them enough papers, and they went and taught the dispensational view. And just to give in one setting, in 45 minutes, from creation to new heaven and new earth. So people could just see the big picture of the whole Bible at one setting. So they gave that to each of the school kids. This is at Lokolama, a very remote village. And this is Pastor David. He used to be one of my deacons. And God called him to go up to Lokolama. So he planted our third church plant up at Lokolama. So this is Pastor David and his wife. Well, we go on village trips. When you get off the pavement, you can see the road immediately turns different. And teaching God's word, reaching sometimes by motorcycle. Sometimes I get flown in by MAF, dropped off with a bicycle in remote areas. But this is Timothy and making a village trip. But always with intention to share the gospel clearly in the villages and see those believers discipled and come to build, establish local churches. So this is speaking in one of our local churches. I'll just play this one. This is one of our local churches. And the teens out there, if you, in the church I pastor, if I let them do, let them, that doesn't sound good. But in other words, they would have 10 choirs for Sunday morning. Of course, we wouldn't get out of there till 2 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon either. But so this is the teens. Notice the instruments that they're playing. You can turn that up just a little bit. You can notice the motorcycle sprocket. So when your motorcycle sprocket burns out, we're thankful for our leaders. Some of you know that I've been legal representative representing our Baptist churches to the government. But we're so thankful for the men God has given. Pastors, Pastor Jose is now the legal representative. Pastor Pongo is our president of our churches in Congo. The secretary, the treasurer, he's actually one of the deacons at the church I pastor, another deacon and another pastor that are counselors. So this January, we had our board of our directors, which we do every year, where pastors come from all the different provinces, some of them spending 2 to 3 weeks to get down there. And this time, when they went back, we were able to give each of them a good study Bible that they were able to take back. There, Christine is teaching the treasurer to do the counting for our Fellowship of Baptist Churches with Excel. So this was one of our leaders, Pastor Poulin, and he got hit on a motorcycle by another motorcycle, broke his leg in 4 places, and he had diabetes, and it turned gangrene. And when they went to amputate it, he died on the operating table. We were just outside, my sister and I, waiting for the operation. But through it all, pray for his family. These are his kids over here. And this is his brother, Ige, who came down from northern Congo, had to fly down by a plane for this funeral. And before he went back, I said, Ige, before you go back, come and see me. I want to talk to you about your soul. And so he came to my office there, and I was able to spend 2 hours just sharing the gospel clearly. And he says, Pastor Daniel, I believe Jesus. I've trusted Jesus. I know Jesus now as my Savior. When my brother came up to our city and taught about Jesus and salvation, I hadn't trusted Christ. But my wife and one of my relatives had trusted Christ and actually got baptized. But now I know Jesus is my Savior. And so he says, I want to be baptized. And I want to make this, give my testimony, make it publicly, my public testimony of my faith in Christ. So he says, can I be baptized before I go back Thursday? This was Monday. And I says, well, let me talk to the deacons. We do have a service Wednesday. It's not me baptizing you, it's the church. And you're going to give a public testimony of your decision to follow Christ. So Wednesday for prayer meeting, we dug a hole. We don't have a place to baptize, so we just dig and put a tarp in it and filled it up with water. And he gave a wonderful testimony of his faith in Christ. By the way, you might remember to pray. Ige says, now we need to start a Bible-believing church in my city. And I says, well, you're the one. You're the Ethiopian eunuch that's going back to Africa. You go back with the message, and God will use it. He says, Pastor, will you come to my city and and teach God's word there? So it would cost $700 for a plane ticket for me to go up there. Of course, I'd never go by myself. Always get another pastor, evangelist, local, national to go with me. So pray that God will supply and that soon I can make it up to his city. Would have to fly with local Air Congo. How would you like to fly on Air Congo? These are our other missionaries, Spark and Mindy. They're working with our Bible Institute. Do pray for them. Because of unrest over a year ago, they had to leave and are actually back in the States. And he's actually taken up the pastorate in Notice, Idaho, temporarily while they're waiting for things to calm down, especially in the bush in Congo, to get back there. So pray for them. This was a trip we took with Randy Cook, came out to teach homiletics to the Bible Institute. And this is where I went and worked on building the airstrip. I don't think you guys ever saw that. This was ministering to the students there. And this is just a little bit of the students. I was singing a song with them every morning before they got their class. So the Bible Institute, pray for the need of training future leaders for Congo. Lee and Becky Ward are also our missionaries. Becky is my older sister. And then older than Becky is Ruth Bell, Steve and Ruth Bell, that this church supports. So Becky and Lee are our actual neighbors. They have two churches that support them here. They work for the American Embassy out there in Congo. They also have two adopted children from Congo. And Orlick and Paul. Paul is Orlick's up in Washington, Tacoma, and Paul's in just went to faith in Ankeny, Iowa. So this is just the picture we got this morning from them. They were actually with their kids because of the political unrest. The kids, their boys' home comes to their home every Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and so they. Because of the political unrest with this voting problem, they stayed at their home and they came to our church since it's only a mile away instead of going 45 minutes out into an area that's not very secure. Notice Simon. Simon, these are boys that are beggars in downtown Kinshasa. You stop your car, they're barefooted, they're hungry, you give them a piece of bread and they just eat it right down and they're just begging. And they'll just keep knocking on your window until you give them something. Please, give me food, give me something to drink. And these are kids that my sister and her husband take off the streets, have a boys' home. This Simon was one of the older boys, and they started calling him pastor because of his testimony. When he trusted Christ, his life was changed around, and he became like pastor of the boys' home. And so when we went up on this, and if you guys haven't seen the video, I'll leave it with Pastor. And maybe sometimes when you have an evening, it's 17 minutes long of that trip. I think you folks would really enjoy it. But we flew in with Simon into where my grandmother was buried in 1936. And he was able to minister to the teens. But just before we came back to the States, he got malaria that turned into a complication with quinine and got black water fever and died. So you might remember to pray for the boys' home. So we had the funeral there just before we came back about 2 months ago. You know, only one life you and I have. And Simon had a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in Congo. So pray for strong Christian families. Pray for faithful generations in the Congo. Pray for the leaders, village trips, like these two pastors that have had a burden to reach remote villages throughout Congo. Pray for the need of discipleship. These were some of, this is our fifth church plant in the church I pastor, and it's up at the university. So these are university students. And we just started this church plant, and our pastor up there had never baptized. So he says, Pastor Daniel, you were my professor in Bible Institute back in the 80s, and God has called me to pastor this church, but I've never baptized. And I want you to come baptize these first 14 people that have trusted Christ as Savior. So you can see a couple of the ladies were university students, getting Bibles and tracts and God's Word, because how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And then for our national leadership, that you'd remember to pray for them. And pray as we continue construction. We're just so thankful for this church and all you guys have given to help both in Christine's medical needs and then also especially with this church construction. So we're so excited what God is doing there. Pray for the political unrest in the Congo and the upcoming elections. So just prior mindset, it's not our power, but we need to be ready. We need to be aware of spiritual needs, just as Jesus was, and yielded to be, to say, to do, to go, Lord, send me, just like Isaiah was. So, Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you. And I don't know if there's time for any questions or anything that anybody might have, but thank you so much for your faithfulness to the Lord here and for supporting missions and for all you've given to allow that church is where it is. And I'm praying that by the middle of October that God will bring in the funds that are necessary. And you know what? I don't know exactly how much, but that God will bring in the funds that are necessary to, we want to put up steel trusses for our roof of our church. So we can't get good dried wood, so we want to build them out of steel. And my nephew in Lubumbashi has built a house and had an engineer actually engineer trusses that will go up so the roof is higher in the middle if we ever want to put a ceiling so when it rains it's not so loud. They're the exact width of our church, which is 12 meters or 40 feet wide and 85 feet long. So we're praying to put up steel trusses. I can weld, but we need to make sure we have the right kind of engineering so this pressure isn't going on the walls and doing it right with all the stuff and then putting on a tin roof. Because right now, the rooms underneath where the cement is cracked, the water is leaking through, we're getting mold and so on. And so we're just really looking forward to getting, and the church is working very hard. They sent me a report this morning how they're coming with the bricks. Trying to fulfill 3,000 bricks before I get back in October and get the belt. We put a belt, a steel belt, around the top of the doors and windows, and then two more or three more bricks, and then another steel belt at the top, and that is what is going to hold the actual trusses for the roof. So you might pray also for Danita, our son-in-law, is really open to going back. And I said, well, you know, if God provides the money, we'll help you out with the ticket to go back, because he's a contractor and constructor, knows a lot, and he's helped us already in Congo put on several roofs and so on. So pray as we look. He's not a welder, though, but we can teach him to weld. So you might pray for those needs as we get ready. And then Christine is going to stay. Our second daughter is expecting. That would be our 10th grandchild, well, plus the two that we're fostering in October. So she's going to stay. And then we're going to have to see how the country's doing before she wants to come back the 1st of December. So we have elections, it looks like the 23rd, and just see how the country's going to be. So remember to pray for us, and as we continue God's work there, that we might be faithful and you might be faithful on this side. It's a teamwork, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And just so you know, when I got up and left, we went and helped a young couple and their two kids that were trying to get back home. And this is kind of how God works. Wayne Dubois, who's a member here, he's a sergeant with the police department. He came in contact with them today, during the day, and the, and and.